ASISU Speaks is a weekly program on KISU-FM focused on Idaho State University from a student's perspective. This is Christoph Kassoon, and you're listening to ASISU Speaks. Today, I am joined by a dear colleague of mine, Carly Dance, who is pursuing a Doctor of Arts in Political Science at Idaho State. Carly completed her Master's in Public Administration at ISU in 2019 and worked for the local nonprofit organization, the Southeast Idaho Council of Government. Carly also currently sits on the City of Pocatello Advisory Committee for CBDG Community Development Block Grants. Hi, Carly.
Hi, Christoph.
How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm really great. I'm so happy you took this opportunity to come onto the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You know, and this is really what the show is about. It's about giving students and leaders in Pocatello and ISU a chance to show why they're great.
Awesome.
I think you're a perfect candidate to open up to the public.
Well, and thank you
very
much.
Absolutely. So I know you. We've been colleagues for a few years now. We've pretty much had maybe 6-7 classes together at this point.
Yep.
I think I still remember the first class I had with you, and it was environmental policy as an undergrad.
Yep.
I always looked up to you. You were just always like that grad student I wanted to be one day.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Yes.
Yes, I'm very passionate about environmental policy and all these things. And similar with you, I've always looked to you. We've taken Borders classes and...
we always have a great time.
Yes, absolutely.
I love it. So for the public, maybe let's talk a little bit about your background so they can kind of get a better sense of, you know, where you came from and how you ended up here.
I am originally from Blackfoot. However, I moved to Pocatello in 2001, which is when I started my ISU career. And I started just getting my bachelor's or getting my generals, not really knowing which direction I wanted to go yet. So I went to ISU for a while. I experimented with a lot of different classes to try to get my fill. And I was always attracted to the political science aspect of everything. And I am also a young mother, or I was a young single mother. And so almost at the point... where I almost graduated with my bachelor's, I had to take a break from ISU. So I took about an 8-year break to have a full-time job, to provide for my family and do that sort of thing. And it was 2016 when I decided to come back and finish my bachelor's and my undergrad.
Wow.
And then I went from bachelor's to master's to now doctorate.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm very glad you came back.
Thank you, me too.
And I know how difficult that is.
Oh, it is.
When you have to take that time away and it's been so long and now you're like immersed in the real world, and to make that sacrifice for yourself is really inspiring.
Right. Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Yes. It was really scary, but it was, you know, one of the best decisions I've ever made. So.
Absolutely. You know, and I really feel like you can speak on what being a non-traditional student is all about. You know, we have a 40% non-traditional population at ISU, and it seems a lot of the time like the most of the resources kind of go to traditional students.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the times, I think administrators and even faculty don't quite understand the plight that non-traditionals have to go through, you know, on top of trying to get their degrees and be successful in their careers. They have huge responsibilities that need to be accounted for.
Right, right. Absolutely. And I am a bit biased, but the political science department, everyone has been so understanding of my situation. I'm really open and honest about that because it is a balance between school life and mom life, if you will, and just homework load and all of that. And
right, and your mental health and all of these things, taking self-care time.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely. And so everyone here has been very helpful with that. And once you find that balance, it's a great one. And I encourage others to do it if they want to pursue it. I believe that you really can.
Yeah, so. Especially at a school like ISU, where Absolutely. You can get that kind of support because our yes. faculty here are on another level.
Oh, amazing. Yes, absolutely. I agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you said you always kind of knew you wanted to go into political science.
Right.
Was there like a particular experience you had that made you really know that that's what you wanted to do?
Not one particular mm-hmm. instance. Just learning about and realizing that I had political efficacy mm-hmm. and that we can make a difference. And sometimes it's frustrating when you feel like your voice isn't being heard, mm-hmm. Especially on a political level or as far as legislation is concerned. But finding those ways that you can still get your voice heard and make an impact, that is what I really loved about the field, is finding those avenues. And that's what really drew me in.
That's great, and I completely agree with you. I think political science is a great environment where you can kind of interact with the government and just with different groups and different citizens in ways you just can't without that type of expertise and training.
Right.
You also completed your master's in public administration.
Yes.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
I know the MPA is a difficult program, and I know the capstone can be very scary. Mm-hmm. And I'm considering now getting it as well, yes. seeing all of you guys do it yes. so successfully.
Thank
you. So why the Masters of Public Admin?
I felt where I've done my internships mm-hmm. I've with CCOG, and just the public administration program sets that up so you learn about this nonprofit world. You mm-hmm. learn a lot about administration and local mm-hmm. politics, and I felt like it was a great fit for me in what I wanted to do with my career. And of course, I always loved the teaching aspect of it, which is why I also decided on the DA mm-hmm. program afterwards. But yes, that's what really drew me into the public administration.
Nice. For the members of the public that maybe aren't super sure what we mean by these terms, public administration really is a field that is applied.
Yes.
So it's pretty much where we take everything we know in political science and sociology and psych and business mm-hmm. and apply it to public organizations.
Right.
So everything from nonprofits to government agencies to international organizations even have yes. their own public administration systems. Yes. So it's really a great tool just kind of for anyone who wants to get their foot in kind of the applied political science world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It is geared to the public sector, but mm-hmm. I think it can be applied to the private sector.
Well, absolutely.
There's yeah. workplace issues mm-hmm. course, there's organizational theory course, and it really sets you up to be a good leader, if you will, of an organization.
Yeah, absolutely. And not to be biased, but ISU has one of the best MPA programs in the world, in my opinion.
Yes, absolutely. Mine too.
Right. It is run by Dr. Mark Macbeth, mm-hmm. who is a god. Oh. In political science and public yes. administration, and he's the sweetest, kindest, most intelligent man I know. And the fact that we have someone like him at a school like us leading this program is just phenomenal. Like,
it is.
I've been to conferences on their entire sections on his work.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Same here.
Yeah.
Yes, it was such an honor, and it still is, to be able to work with him.
Yeah.
And just his expertise and his knowledge and his understanding, and it's... Yes.
It's unreal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, such a huge resource that we should not take for granted.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about some of your work experience. You've done a lot of very cool things, mm-hmm. both on and off campus. Mm-hmm. You mentioned before we were talking about a career path internship. So how did that start and where did that lead to?
So the CPI program, or the career path internship, mm-hmm. I received at the end of my undergrad, beginning of grad school, and that led me to CCOG, or the Southeast Idaho Council of Government, mm-hmm. and it was in economic development. And immediately I I really enjoyed what we were doing, going out into the communities and letting them know about the different options to help upgrade their water systems for clean water, the grants that were available, and helping them get those grants if they so choose. And we covered the whole Southeast Idaho region. And so we got to talk with a lot of elected officials, a lot of the community in the 7-county region that we represented. And one of my favorite projects that I was able to do while I was there that was very heartfelt was we received a CDBG grant for the Shelley Senior Center.
Wow.
And we were able to help them immensely with that funding. And just the directors and their appreciation was just very heartfelt. And it's a community I grew up into, so it felt so good to kind of see and kind of give back in that
your
kind
community.
Of way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I love Absolutely. That. That's so. Beautiful. You know, the Career Path Internship Program is a great one. Oh. A lot of students on campus depend on it, just not financially, but for experience.
Oh, yes. It gave me that experience. It led me to know my likes, dislikes, where I was strong in. I got to be a certified grant administrator through CCOG and write grants and
wow.
and see that side of it too. And it's just something that I really enjoyed. So it was made possible through the Career Path Internship and being able to experience that.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I completely agree. I think the jobs that I've managed to get on this campus, just even being in the studio right now with you, something I never thought that I would have gotten the chance to do. And here we are. We have this whole platform now, right?
Right?
And we're making
so
it happen.
Awesome. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So props to ISU for keeping us employed and giving us good jobs.
Absolutely.
I want to talk also a little bit about your research.
Okay.
I've dabbled in it a little bit.
Yes.
And I think it's really cool. And I would love for the public to hear about the cool things that you've been looking at.
Thank you. There's so many
projects.
Yeah. So much research that I go into. I look a lot to the environmental aspects of things. Mm-hmm. I have looked into the international wastewater plant that we have in San Diego and kind of the aspects going on there. That was a lot of research I undertook, a lot of water quality and the administration part of that in Pocatello I've researched. Also, I've done a lot of medicinal marijuana research and the benefits from that and the different legislation, the different policies that other states and counties are adopting and how effective that's been and how it's helped others. But yes, that's some of my main areas and topics.
Lovely. So I'm assuming you might pursue one of those for your dissertation a little bit further. Yeah. I know you just started. I don't want to freak you out yet.
My dissertation is already on my mind, heavily, because there's so many things I want to look at. But yes, probably in that sort of field. Category.
Lovely. Yes, we will get together and have dissertation writing parties.
Oh, please,
like,
please.
That's the only way it's going to get done.
Yes.
You know what? We live in just a time of, you know, a lot of fake news. We have just a lot of misconceptions and stereotypes being thrown about when it comes to science.
Yes.
Which is crazy, being on the academic side, because this is literally what we do.
Right.
So, just very basically, why is research important and why is good research important?
Good research is so important for so many reasons.
You think you would have to say it, right?
Yes, because we have this buzzword now of fake news. But we should really look deeper into real reasons and real research, looking at who funds the data, looking at other aspects of a study and the reason why the study was put out could help. And there can be, I believe, in research, an emotional aspect or connection to it as well.
Absolutely.
That people discard, but it can't be just emotionally based or belief based. I think it should be a combination of all the factors.
Right, absolutely.
In research.
Yeah, there should be data and logic and fact and objectivity, but we can't take the human aspect out at the same time.
Right.
Research is incredibly important, just how are we supposed to know what problems there are in the world and how to fix them if we have no data?
Right.
I think a lot of people just build up their beliefs and they think they're the experts on a particular topic.
And social media is one thing. You know, there are a lot of factual things posted on there, and there are a lot of non-factual things. And I think it's important to not go off of something you just see without fully looking into it.
Agreed.
And that could help, I think, with a lot of understanding.
Across a bunch of different fields and different problem areas.
Right.
And we live in 2019. There is absolutely no excuse for not self-educating on issues.
Absolutely.
We have more access to information and libraries and internet and faculty and any possible place you can find information now, you can find it.
So true.
Right?
So
like,
true.
I think about like people in like the 1700s and 1800s who were trying to study and they would have to travel like miles to find a university or a library to find three books on a topic nobody wrote about.
Right.
Right? And they had to make decisions for the world based on that. So yes. What is our excuse?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And I believe in the power of peer review also.
Absolutely.
So that's something I also look for in my research.
Those articles and those books that have been reviewed by other experts in the field.
Yes.
Because Dr. Kirkpatrick always says this, and it's a, I believe, a quote from Einstein, and he said, we stand on the shoulders of giants, right? It's on the front page of Google Scholar.
Yes.
When we do research, and I'll use another analogy Dr. Kirkpatrick uses, of the wall. We're literally building a wall of knowledge, and I put a brick and then somebody else puts a brick next to mine, and now we have two bricks that you can put a brick on top of.
Absolutely.
And then we all literally work on this piecemeal wall of knowledge, and only by filling out the gaps we can see what other gaps are there and where we need to do some work and who needs to patch this piece up. And no one can do research in a vacuum.
Right.
It's impossible.
Right.
At least good research.
Right. I agree 100% with what you just said. That is so true and
right?
So accurate. I feel too.
Yeah. So for the public, just know that you don't have to be disillusioned and disenfranchised and feel like you can't be part of the conversation.
Right.
Just look around the world. I know it's overwhelming to open social media and see like nine things that make you want to cry and die.
Right.
But take a breath. Pick one problem that you really care about and just start chiseling away.
Yes.
At least figure out what's going on.
Yes.
And then we can talk about what we're going to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You say it perfectly.
Thank you. So I want to dedicate the last portion of the interview to a very special project that you're working on. You are planning the We Give Openly and Use Our Voice fundraiser, which is taking place on September 19th of 2019 at the Old Town Pavilion from 5 to 9 p.m.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about what this event is and why it came into existence.
Okay. Well, first of all, working in the nonprofit sector, you know, you kind of want to see and help in ways. And there is three great local causes it's going to. One is a father, and he's a grandfather. He has stage 4 cancer, and he has no insurance, and he's having troubles coming up with expenses for his chemo. And he his friends were able to pull enough money together for him for his first treatment, and now it's time for a second treatment, and we're trying to fundraise for that. That's one of the local causes.
Wow.
Another one, affordable housing right now is very hard in Pocatello. Our housing market is doing something very different and shifting, and so real true affordable housing is coming rare and rare.
Right.
And there's a family who's on the verge of losing their home due to difficulties, and that is another local cause that we're trying to help out with here. And another one that is probably more personally, I'm personally connected with, is kindergarten currently isn't mandatory in Idaho.
Wow. And I did not know that.
I didn't either.
Huh.
But I found out this year, I went to register my daughter in kindergarten, and in public schools, they only give kindergarten is only either 2 hours every morning, Monday through Friday, or 2 hours every evening, Monday through Friday, which is really hard for working parents, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Still, and really, I don't know how much you can learn in that time frame.
Right.
And I'm sure funding is an issue, too. I know there's really great teachers out there, but I had to look at full-time kindergarten for my situation. And I was able to find some really good schools that offer that. And I, of course, inquired about scholarships or help, any help they could offer with funding. And right now, they don't have a lot of budget or any budget for kindergarten scholarships. And so I want to give a kindergarten scholarship to a family that's probably, that will be in my situation next year
or
the following years, just to help with that. So those are the three local causes that we're trying to raise funds for. And we're doing that through a raffle. And it's the community support, and that has been so great. So many local businesses have given so much already, and it keeps coming in. And the more people hear about it, the more they want to give for the raffle prizes. So just to throw out some names, there's been Vicky and Lane Reed. They do a lot of kids' handmade bows and stuff. They put together a bunch of gift baskets.
Wow.
There's CrossFit Octave is a gym. They put together a package for the raffle. Bunzo Glass, they actually upcycle old or empty liquor bottles, and they make them into glasses that you could drink out of.
That's
or
really cool.
They make them into earrings and jewelry, and so it's way awesome, and it's amazing, amazing what he does with his crafted items. There's also been donations from Molinelli's, from J&Co Company, hair care, massages, you name it.
Lovely.
There is so many.
Some really great prizes.
Oh, yes, absolutely, for the raffle. And, I mean, the raffle tickets are $1 per ticket or $3 for 5 tickets. So that all goes to help those local causes. Now, with that being said, there's also some national and state causes that we're trying to raise funds for, which will be in a silent auction type format. Some of those do include the legalization of cannabis, combating climate change, LGBTQ rights, refugee relief, and women's rights. And
awesome.
I do have where the money, the proceeds from those will go. For the legalization of medicinal cannabis in Idaho, it's going to, the proceeds will go to the Marijuana Policy Project of Idaho. The climate change auction items will go to Greenworks Idaho. The refugee relief will go to the Idaho Office for Refugees. The proceeds will go to that. Mm-hmm. The LGBTQ rights auction proceeds will go to the Idaho Pride Foundation. And the women's right auction will go to Planned Parenthood. So we understand that not everybody in the community is going to agree with all or any of these causes.
Right.
And so it's optional.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to, and that's why it's a silent auction. There could be some
anonymity.
Yes, thank you. And you can kind of choose which cause really speaks to you.
Wow.
And bid on those items. So, yeah, that's what this is all about.
Lovely.
To help with some local, state, national causes and issues. And they're all going towards really, really great things that could benefit us locally and statewide. And
right. That's amazing. Yeah, this is incredible. Like, I'm very, very excited.
Thank you.
You know, when you first told me about this event and I was like, okay, well, what organization is doing it? And you were like, it's me. And I was like, wow, like, I'm so impressed that you put all of this together pretty much on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Thank you.
You know, it just goes to show, like, you already talked about political efficacy. Like, this is political efficacy.
Right.
Like,
right.
This is what it's all about. Like, you have to kind of, as an individual, mm-hmm. decide I want to do something and figure out how you're going to do it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And this is another way to be an engaged citizen.
Yeah.
Without, you know, having to hold a office position or, you know, an elected position. You can support things in different ways and be active about that,
yeah,
or proactive about that. And I want to give this, that's why I said I will use my voice, because you can use your voice in this,
yeah,
type of way also. Another good thing about this is it's going to be kid friendly. We are going to have a bounce house, and a bunch of kid games there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a giant Jenga adult game that we'll have there, a beanbag toss. We're going to have a little booth that does glitter tattoos on anyone who wants one. The Sand Trap is also supplying the beer and wine.
Nice.
If you know you're of age and you would like a drink. Dunk Burgers food truck will be there, and they'll be serving their super delicious meals and items. And all of these organizations have been really, really just supportive of everything. So
wow, I love that. I love that. It says so much about our community right here.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
You.
So just again for the public, the event is We Give Openly and Use Our Voice fundraiser.
Yes.
Taking place on September 19th of 2019 at the Old Town Pavilion from 5 to 9 p.m.
Yes.
So Carly and I really hope to see all of your faces out there.
Yes. And there is a Facebook event page.
Mm-hmm.
It is titled that, We Give Openly and Use Our Voice fundraiser. And yes, please, everyone's invited.
Come out, support, and let's give back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love it. Thank you so much, Carly, for being here.
Thank you, Christoph.
I really enjoyed this interview, and I'm very much looking forward to having you back on the show in the future,
please.
So we can talk more about some of the awesome things you're doing.
Please. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I've enjoyed it.
And, you know, I just wanted to let you know, I think you're going to make an incredible researcher, public administrator, professor. I just see nothing but brightness in your future.
Thank you so much.
That means thank you. ASISU Speaks is a weekly series airing on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. during the academic year. Join us next week as we continue to showcase our amazing Bengals and hear them roar.